Ah, Mary and Martha. Yet another parable that we all know, not parable, story, that we all know so well that we could probably tell it to each other with very little error. When asked by somebody what are the main lessons of this passage, what is usually told to us is that Jesus wants us to be more like Mary, and that Martha was too distracted. Well, I strongly dislike that answer. Partially because I don't think Jesus was telling Martha off. I think there is something here that is missed and lost in translation. Translation of a situation, translation of a language. I could simply preach the typical traditional sermon. Okay, here it is in a nutshell. We have heard this sermon before. Mary chose the better part by sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his preaching. Martha was too distracted by preparing the meal, and she missed that opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. Mary is the good sister because she prioritized her spiritual growth, and she was bold to sit at the feet of Jesus. More on that later. It's really good. So overall, Mary did the best. Martha, she was too distracted. She prioritized serving over learning, and she brought her concerns to Jesus, which was good, but in a manner that did not befit a person of his stature. And she fostered irritation and annoyance in her heart towards her sister. There you go. All done. Not quite. I find Martha to be quite an interesting person because, in fact, I can see a lot of me in what's presented here. I do enjoy studying and researching and learning. That is a huge part of who I am. However, if there is an event that has to take place, I am one of those people who will make sure things get done, so much so that I might actually miss the actual lecture. It is noted that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. It's even the feminine in Greek. Martha owned this house, and she welcomed him with the hospitality of first century Palestine. But what is notable here is that she actually owned the house. It was Martha's house. Some translators believe she came to the ownership either through her husband dying and leaving her the house, or her parents dying and leaving her the house. There are some commentators that argue about why it wasn't given to Lazarus or an uncle or a male cousin or somewhere along the line. In regards to Lazarus, it's believed because he's the youngest and he wasn't an adult yet. But it is greatly contested. This is a really big deal, because in first century Palestine, women's status was only slightly better than slaves. In fact, a slave's position was more secure than that of a woman's. A slave, as long as they continued to do their bit of work, was fed, housed, and clothed. But if you were a widow with no family left, you could find yourselves out on the street with no food, housing, or clothing. And yet Martha owns a house. This is important, and this is something that we need to keep in mind as we continue through this section. Here's something interesting about this interaction. Jesus welcomed and invited women to be part of his ministry. This is hearkening back to Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. That was a spot normally reserved to one of Jesus' best student, which was almost always male, never female. So Jesus allowed this female to come and sit and listen to his teaching, which was very countercultural. We have also noted that Martha was distracted in preparation of the meal and harbored frustration in her hearts towards Mary. We don't know how long she stewed in the kitchen with this irritation in her heart, but we do know that we are told that she was distracted. For us English people, in this English learning people nowadays, distracted could simply mean sidetracked or preoccupied. But the word used in Greek for distracted, perispao, probably wrong, it means to be dragged away. She was seriously distracted, not a little bit. And when she had hit her limit and she needed to speak with Jesus, she went right up to him. And now we have to pause for a moment and consider that Martha approached Jesus directly. Jesus is a male. He is a noted rabbi. He is a noted holy man. First century Palestine would have protocols or societal conventions on how one would approach him, particularly while he was teaching. And yet Martha approaches Jesus, and she says to him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her then to help me." Can we think of times when we have been so overwhelmed in the preparation of something that we have felt left alone to do everything? That's how Martha felt. For all the fellow Marthas out there, somebody had to be cooking supper. Otherwise, it would never have been served. Sorry, I got a bit distracted. And I wanted to look at how Martha approached Jesus to give us some time to ponder this, because I think this right here is an important message that we often miss and is often not taught. How did Martha approach Jesus? I imagine that Martha marched right up to Jesus with her hands on her hip and with a strong and strident voice, "Lord, do you not care?" But we need to remember that this is Jesus. This is the holy man. This is that rabbi. And what she has just done, societal would have thought that that was kind of taboo and out of order. But what did Jesus do? Jesus did not send her away. Jesus did not dismiss her. Jesus did not reprimand her sharply. "Woman, get back to the kitchen." Jesus heard her and answered her complaint. What kind of relationship did this woman have with Jesus that she felt so comfortable approaching our Lord in the midst while he was talking and teaching? He did not get upset. He did not ignore her. We know from other passages of Scripture that Jesus was friends with this sibling group and that Jesus had stayed in their home multiple times, maybe more than once. And it's not only the siblings that counted themselves as friends to Jesus. In fact, Jesus called his disciples his friends. Friends. Not rabbi and student. Not man and woman. Friends. Jesus repeating her name twice points to his affection. It is believed by many commentators that Jesus spoke to her lovingly and not harshly. "Martha, Martha." And I think this is important for us to hear today. Jesus can handle your anger. Jesus can handle your frustration. Jesus can handle when you are irate. You do not need to edit your words. You do not need to make sure that you approach with an appropriate tone of voice. Jesus will not turn his back on you in your time of frustration and anger and confusion. We can read in the Psalms in which David also complained to God. Psalm 6, 13, 22, 35, 42, and 109 are some of the rawest passages that David wrote when he was upset. God can handle our anger, our frustration, and our disappointment. One last thought. While Jesus spoke to Martha with affection in his voice, we must note that Martha did not get what she wanted. Jesus did not tell Mary to go and help Martha. In fact, we don't know how that encounter ended because it ends rather abruptly. It's hard for us when we pray for something that we feel deeply in our hearts that we need, that we want to prevent, that we want to stop, and to hear silence, or to hear the gentle no, or maybe later. God can handle our frustrations and our anger and our disappointment, but we must remember that his perspective is higher than our perspective. And even when he says no, or not yet, it is out of love and concern for us. This is where our trust and our faith must step in and comfort us. This is where we must lean into the comforting of the Holy Spirit. This is where we must remember that above everything else, God loves us. We can glean these 3 points from this short passage. Jesus upholds the worth of all peoples, even against societal norms. Jesus can take our anger and will respond in love and compassion. Jesus does not always give us what we feel that we need or want. And we need to still hold on to the fact that he loves us, even in denying our request. These are the lessons that I saw in Martha's approach to Jesus. Where do you see yourself in this story?